All right, all right, all right. Another edition of Talkin' Dodgers. Welcome to a new episode of Talkin' Dodgers. We were going to be talking about the World Series champion 2024, Los Angeles Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Roger Brain Media and sponsored by Command Recording Studios. Looking to jump into the podcast world, start making your own content. Command Recording Studios is a one-stop shop for professional podcasts. With a team of audio engineers, music composers, and graphic designers, Command Creative Studios can get your podcast sounding professional as well as looking professional. For more information, please visit commandcreativestudios.com. Wow, that was difficult for me to say.
It's been a while. We're out of practice.
It has been definitely a while. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm good. Hectic hiatus into Thanksgiving, and then following the off-season highs and lows of potential signings and not signings of the Dodgers to see what was going to happen. Everything's good.
Yeah.
Life's good, man. It's December. It's almost 2025 for the Dodgers to defend their World Series title.
Yep, and they're trying to make some moves to do it.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, sometimes I think there's too much chatter, but it seems to me like every all-star in the country wants to come to the Dodgers.
Why wouldn't they? It seems like the Dodgers are always in the mix to get at least into the playoffs, and they seem, for the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, they're always seem to be the favorite to at least make or win the World Series, so that's got to be a plus for a lot of teams. I say, I mean, a lot of players, I think they see the stability that's over in Los Angeles, and what this organization does is, you know, why wouldn't you want to come here? I mean, you even saw it with Teoscar. He came here for a one-year deal because he wanted to win a World Series. And, I mean, that's what happened. Now, obviously, he wants to stay because he wants to win another one. But you see it happen where they just want to come to where they know that they're going to have the best chance to win a World Series and, you know, obviously make some money.
Well, I think the camaraderie, too, with this team, like, I think the way the team's put together, it seems like it's a fun team to play with and they're good. I will say, the deferred contracts benefit us and we have an elite level team. But as a sports fan, I'm like, I'm on the fence on the whole deferred contract deal, and
it's like a billion dollars deferred now. They have $1 billion deferred.
Like Muncy said it today, like, not our problem. Let's go win World Series. But
right,
I don't want to see it to where it's like, I still want to see a competitive Major League Baseball as a whole.
But it's also like, it's not like the Dodgers are doing something that no other team can do.
Correct. You're not
wrong. And also, like, no other team is not doing. The other teams are doing this. The Dodgers aren't the first one to do it. The reason why the people are noticing the Dodgers so much is because they deferred all that money with Shohei. And that wasn't Shohei. That wasn't the Dodgers' idea. That was Shohei's idea. He gave other teams the opportunity to do that. The Dodgers are the ones that jumped on it. All right. So here's what's on deck. So Blake Snell, now a Dodger. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about some key re-signings the Dodgers did, and then we're also going to talk about what's happening in the rumor world. Let's jump right in.
I'm going to interrupt you. How are you doing?
You know, life is a roller coaster. Business is a roller coaster.
Life is a highway. Is that the song? Life is a highway. Is that how it goes?
Yeah, but you're not even in the right key.
Whoever said it is a good musician.
That's
I can talk, but I can't sing.
life's a roller coaster.
I got it.
I'm a little bummed we missed a couple weeks doing this show because it's kind of a stress relief when we talk sports and do this kind of stuff, which is kind of nice.
Well, I think we can promise our listeners we're going to be back in the wheelhouse of Talking Dodgers on a weekly basis as of this week, first week of December.
Well, and then really quick on Max. Max will pop in ever so often during the offseason. This isn't the Dodgers aren't really his cup of tea. He's also still mourning the Yankees and also what's happening to his Jets.
Yeah.
So
he's not
really in the mood to talk about the juggernaut that is the Los Angeles Dodgers. But he'll show up when he's in the right headspace. He's just not there to talk about the Dodgers right now.
Yeah, his lowly Jets, man, they're reeling right now.
They're definitely reeling. All right, so let's jump into Snell, okay? Let me go ahead and get the video started.
Blake Snell's a Dodger.
Blake Snell is a Dodger, which is super exciting. I forgot to do something really quick.
I do find it a little trippy that he played for the Padres and the Giants, which are two of our biggest rivals. Now he's coming over here.
Yeah.
Like it's
kind of weird.
Right? Like, it's almost like But I think he just plays to win, right? Like, I don't, it's business to him. But he did request to have a, I heard today he said he wanted a locker right next to Kershaw.
Did he really?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. All right, so let's jump into it. So the Dodgers have signed the two-time Cy Young Award winner, Blake Snell, to a five-year contract worth $182 million, which I do believe $60 million or $62 million of that is deferred. So the Dodgers did it. There was three top pitchers on the market, right? You had Corbin Burns, Max Fried, and you had Blake Snell. In my opinion, Blake Snell was the best out of the three. The biggest reason for me was because the Dodgers have gone up against Blake Snell a lot because he's been with San Diego. He's been with 1 year with San Francisco. And also, let's not forget that he was with Tampa Bay, and the Dodgers had to play Tampa Bay in, you know, 2017 World Series. And there's always been this whole, I'm sorry, 2020 World Series. There's always been this whole thing that Blake Snell was pulled early because he was dominating the Dodgers in the postseason. So regardless of how anybody thinks about Blake Snell and his walks, he knows how to pitch in the postseason. And that's kind of what I've been all about this last year. And I've talked about it about Kike, I've talked about it about Walker Buehler. And we, like, you just want those guys that you know can produce their best in the postseason. And Blake Snell is probably one of the better pitchers out there that can, that we've seen him do it. He's dominated the Dodgers, he's dominated other teams, and I'm super stoked he is a Dodger. The only thing that bumps me out a little bit is that this might be a little bit more tougher road for Buehler to get re-signed with the Dodgers, but I'm super excited about it. What's your take on it? What do you got for me, Mike?
I think it's a great signing. I don't know much about him other than he's, you know, Cy Young Award winner and pitched really well. I think this is a precursor to Kershaw getting a send-off. Maybe next year. Maybe next year is his last year, and Snell will take the place of Kershaw over the next 5 years. And Kershaw, we don't see Kershaw after 2025.
Is it because of how good he is, or because of he's just a lefty?
How good Snell is?
Yeah.
Well, I think they need a replacement for Kershaw in the rotation, and I think he's going to be the heir apparent to the dominant lefty that we've always had.
Oh, okay. So because he is a lefty.
Correct.
Okay, gotcha.
I think Kershaw's going to retire. I think Kershaw may have retired this season if he wouldn't have got injured. I think he might have walked away.
Possibly. Well, no, because he signed a two-year. And he did sign a two-year before last season.
But he had an opt-out, no?
He opted out of it because he's trying to get, or as far as what I'm hearing is, because I think he's supposed to rehab a little bit before the season starts. And yeah. So he's trying to make more of a friendlier deal for the Dodgers. I'm not really too sure about that. He did say he is coming back. Obviously, he hasn't signed it yet.
But he's coming back.
Right, as far as we know, he's coming back, yeah.
I just think, as far as lefties go, we can't rely on Kershaw. And if Clayton decides to hang it up, I think Snell fits that lefty spot in the rotation. And he was available, obviously. I cross my fingers that the Snell signing does not affect, as you just mentioned, us bringing Buehler back, because I think you have to bring him back.
He won us
a World Series, but I think Snell's a great signing. I was thinking we'd get Fried over Snell, but we
didn't. I never saw Fried coming. I thought it might have been Burns. I'm shocked about Snell. I'm also not, because Snell, I believe, also was drafted by Freeman when he was over in Tampa Bay.
Okay.
I think he was one of his picks over there. And so he's basically putting Snell and Glasnow back together.
But would you take Snell or Fried over Snell? I mean, do you have – I don't
– Yeah,
one's better.
Out of those three, I think Snell is the better.
Gotcha. So who's the best pick out of those three?
Yeah, so there's one thing that I keep hearing about Snell. So – Snell walks a lot of batters.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
And so one of the downside, or the things that was talked about him when he won the Cy Young 2 years ago, was that he had it would have been the first pitcher, he would have the most walks ever for a Cy Young award winner. But the thing about Snell is what everybody keeps talking about is that it's not Snell walking people because he's wild. It's Snell walking people because he didn't want to give in to them. And so Snell is the type of pitcher that would rather walk a really good hitter if the guy's not chasing his pitches and just go after the next guy. as opposed to give in and give him a fastball down in the middle or give him something that he can hit so that way he doesn't walk. He doesn't believe in that whole runner on first base or runner on second base can come to bite you if you walk him in.
Well, that tells me his command's elite. If he's willing to walk a guy,
I mean, if you look at his stats, it seems like they are. I mean, let me click.
Makes
this
sense
up
to me though. If I was facing Juan Soto and he had a 3-1 count on me and he wasn't chasing anything down and away,
yeah,
walk him, give me the next guy up to bat, and I'll take him out. You know what I mean? Like, I've kind of felt like, we'll bring him up again, even though he's not part of the subject. I kind of felt like Walker Buehler had that a little bit in the playoffs, where he would get walk a guy to get to the next guy because he felt that confident.
I felt that happen sometimes too. Yeah,
yeah, a little I bit. Did. But I like this small side. I'm excited. I think we're reloading, and it's going to be scary. A scary team next year.
Oh, I'll show the possibilities for rotation in a second. But so really quick. We pull this stat up really fast. So in 2024, and let's not forget, Snell signed late because he was part of the whole Boris clan that was trying to get like big money, and he couldn't get it. So he ended up getting like a 2-year with an opt out.
Yeah.
So he didn't even do spring training. His spring training was during the regular season, and he came in during the regular season for the Giants, and he pitched terribly for a while. Then he went on the injured list, and then when he came back, he was elite. He was probably the best pitcher in the league. His stats. Here's his stats with the bad start that he had. In 20 starts, he went 5-3. His ERA was 3.12. His WHIP was 1.05. He had 145 strikeouts, 44 walks, and 104 innings pitched. And that's with being on the IL, and that's also starting terribly because he had no spring training. His first like 3 or 4 games, he was a disaster. He was terrible. I remember sitting there going, "Oh, it's a good thing the Dodgers didn't get him because he looked like garbage." And then all of a sudden, it's like, "Oh no, I just need to get healthy, and then look what I can do." So, I mean, I'm excited about Blake Snell. I think Blake Snell, what he's going to do, he's going to give you another proven pitcher in the bull, or a proven pitcher to start in clutch games in the postseason. And to go along with this rotation, which, let me pull this rotation up, because that's possibilities for this rotation is absolutely ridiculous. You've got Blake Snell, right? You got Glasnow, Yamamoto, Ohtani, which we don't know what kind of Ohtani we're going to get because he's coming back from his injury. But you got Ohtani. Then you got Gonsolin, which we're going to talk about Gonsolin a little bit when we talk about his arbitration deal and stuff like that, or his 1-year signing. Let's not forget, Gonsolin, before Gonsolin got hurt, I think it was in 2022, Gonsolin was like the front runner to win the Cy Young. And then he got hurt. He wasn't himself in 2020 and 2023. Injuries. So he's coming back. So, dude, Gonsolin is an amazing pitcher. Then you got Kershaw. You got May, who's coming back. Hopefully Walker Buehler, if they can pull that out. And then you've got Knack and you got Miller, which would put them at the bottom of the list. And then you've got Sasaki that everyone says the Dodgers are the front runner to get. All right. So, dude, the possibilities for the 6-man rotation with these guys, and what the Dodgers have proven the last 2 years, you can never have enough starting pitching. The Dodgers in 2023, I thought their starting pitcher, they were stacked with May and Kershaw and Tony Gonsolin.
Well, the fact that they have this,
but they got, but all these guys got injured, so then you ended up with Bobby Miller. It was your best pitcher, and you had to go get what's his name from the A's, who like gave up like 4 home runs in a row. So that was, and that was 2 years ago. And then you have 1 year ago, and then you have this year where you had all these good. You had Glasnow, you had Yamamoto who had hurt, but then ended up coming back. Then you had to rely on Buehler coming back. Like, you had all these guys that were hurt like all the time. So the more starting pitching, the better.
Yeah, I think the fact that there's this many possible starting pitchers. And every one of them can make an all-star, can make the all-star team.
Yeah.
I honestly would go to a 6-man rotation and just go for it. Because every one of these guys is going to be a...
Oh, it's a 6-man rotation. They've said it's going to be a 6-man rotation.
But I wouldn't be nervous about any one of the 6, I guess. There's options.
Yeah, there's a lot of options. You also have a lot of people that could end up being trade bait, which is fine. But if... I just don't see another bullpen game in the future for the Dodgers in the postseason
as long as
in 2025,
healthy,
which
right.
is which is exciting.
Yeah.
All right, this is a good time to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
Don't forget that we have a bunch of social media pages, which is pretty awesome. Go check out our X. Go check out our
TikTok,
Instagram, all kinds of stuff. Max is still our handle on that kind of stuff, which is pretty nice.
YouTube.
And then also we are all on Yeah, YouTube. So if you want to see our pretty faces, see the videos we put together, see us stumble along on our first episode back in the last 3 weeks.
A little bit too long of a hiatus without taking batting practice.
It happens. It happens. All right, let's move on here really quick. Let's do the next subject. Sorry, I've got my cursor all over the place. All right, let's get into the next topic of key re-signs. Tommy Edman.
I like this one.
Tommy Edman. I love this one. So I have one concern with this one, which we'll talk in a second, but I love this one for so many reasons. He plays multiple positions. Oh, I'm sorry. Tommy Edman agrees to a 5-year extension worth $74 million. So a 5-year extension for a player like this, who's only making $74 million, and we're talking about a guy who won the National League Championship Series MVP award. This is a great pickup. This is what I feel like Chris Taylor was supposed to be, which is an elite defensive player in all the positions, but then also was an absolute threat batting. This is the player that I think Kike Hernandez is right now, which I really hope the Dodgers re-sign Kike, because then you have two of these guys floating around. You can let Chris Taylor go. We'll talk about that later. But Tommy Edmonds brings so much to this depth. He brings a gold glove second baseman if you need him. He brings a high-quality center fielder if you need him, high-quality shortstop player if you need him. We know he knows how to bunt. He is a good left-handed hitter, and he's an amazing right-handed hitter, and he hits in the clutch. Love this pickup so much. What do you got? What are you thinking, Mike?
Same thing. It's a great signing. You hit all the points. I will say, after looking at some of his stats and just kind of looking over the postseason, considering they put him in the cleanup spot with this lineup, says a lot about their confidence in how well he can hit.
Yeah.
Like, you got Shohei, Freeman, Muncy, Teoscar. And he put him in the cleanup spot. So he was at the cleanup spot of some spots. I think he batted eighth or ninth a little bit. He could probably be a leadoff hitter, to be honest, if you wanted him to be. But
yeah,
I think it's a great signing. I think he's going to be Chris Taylor. I hate to say it. He's going to be Chris Taylor's replacement. To me, if we're going to move Mookie Betts to infield, I think you start Kike in right field. Because I think having Kike and Edman in the lineup full time is a good thing.
I think it is too.
I don't know if it's realistic, but like someone's going to be odd man out. Like you can't have Kike ride the bench all year. I don't know if he'll re-sign for that and be a bench player.
I think Kike will now. Kike tried being the everyday player over in Boston. I think it worked out with him. Worked out for him 1 year. Didn't so much the next couple years. I think what Kike really wants is to be a part of a team that he gets along with everybody.
Yeah,
But then always knows he's going to be in the postseason. And I think this is the best spot for him. Hopefully the Dodgers give him the contract that makes him want to stay, makes him think that he's worth it, because we saw in the postseason, he's definitely worth it. But going back to Edman.
But they're interchangeable, right? Like if Edman needs a break so they don't overuse him, you could put Kike in any one of those spots, right?
Yeah, but I think the key for the Dodgers is really going to be what they do at the shortstop position, because that's what's going to tie it all together. I think there's no question about it that Mookie's going to be playing second base. So that now it's basically what you're going to do with Lux, and then so if you're giving Lux the shortstop spot, then that means that you got Tommy Edman in center field. Tommy Edman's your guy in center field, or maybe he just kind of bounces around and relieves people throughout the week. Or like, you know, when Monday he's playing center field, maybe, you know, then, you know, Tuesday he's playing shortstop because Lux can't hit against lefties. And then the next day he's playing third base, giving Muncy a day off. Who knows? I think he's going to bounce around. I think that's the same thing you're going to do with Kike. You'll have them bounce around and kind of relieve people as they go. They won't be everyday players, which is fine, because that means that they'll also be well rested for the postseason. But it's still always going to come back to what's going to happen at shortstop. So if Lux isn't your guy and you end up signing one of these guys in the rumor mill down the road, like Adames, or if you actually, I don't even want to say this guy's name because I can't even believe he's even in the mix. The Dodgers wouldn't do this. They wouldn't do this. So I'm not even going to say his name right now. So I just think it all boils down to who's playing shortstop. If it's going to be Lux, it could be Emmons. I, to be honest with you, I would not mind it one bit if the Dodgers were like, you know what? The Lux thing didn't work out. Let's use Lux. Let's get a couple really good relief pitchers and trade Lux while he's hot. And then you had Tommy Edmonds as your starting shortstop for the entire year. That would not bother me at all because I know he could play elite defense and his bat is not going to be in question throughout the entire season. And you have Kike that can give him a break. You have you still have Rojas that can give him a break at shortstop. So he'll still be able to be fresh for the postseason. I would not mind that one bit. I'm not saying that's what they're going to do, but I also wouldn't mind it if he was our center fielder for the whole year. There's so many options, which is so good because his glove is so good and his bat's so good.
He's just a great baseball player.
He's a good baseball player.
So let me ask you, I was going to ask you, that was my next thing. Does it appear that there's no more room? There's no more room for Gavin Lux in the future on this roster?
No, I think there is if the Dodgers believe that Gavin Lux can still be their shortstop.
I don't think he is.
Look, the Dodgers thought that he was their future shortstop before he busted his knee. The Dodgers obviously thought that. It wasn't like, and this is what everybody gets all mad about, or like they think that he's just a terrible defensive shortstop and he's never going to be any good. The guy came up with the Dodgers. He was drafted by the Dodgers as a shortstop. He came up in the ranks as a shortstop. He moved to second base because shortstop was clogged with Corey Seager and it was clogged with Trey Turner.
Yeah.
There was no opening for him. Finally, when he got a shot, two games into preseason, he busted his knee so bad he couldn't play. He had to get reconstructive surgery. And then he comes back the following year with not playing at all. And yeah, he made some bad throws. He was in his head a little bit. He's always kind of been in his head. Like, he always makes kind of bad throws every so often. But the Dodgers saw him as being their starting shortstop. Now he's got a year of being healthy, playing second base. His legs have gotten stronger. We saw his bat come alive halfway through the season after the All-Star break. Became a really good hitter. Became really reliable. And he played really good defense at second base. I didn't look at the Gold Glove standings on who was where, but I would be shocked. I wouldn't have been shocked if he was at least part of a conversation of getting fifth or fourth place somewhere down the road, because I don't remember him making a lot of errors at second base. So now that he's got that 1 year and he's healthier, do the Dodgers give him a shot at shortstop again? I think they do. I actually think that they will give him a shot in preseason. However, if a team comes a knocking that's going to give the Dodgers a lot of good prospects and maybe a couple relievers that could really solidify the bullpen so they don't have to worry about that so much going into the regular season, the Dodgers have enough pieces surrounding them to go, yeah, we don't really need Gavin Lux. They don't need him.
But we also don't need Gavin Lux to be an all-star.
We don't. But you just signed a guy for 5 years that can play that position.
Yeah.
And you have another guy that's signed
It's not like Lux is a scrub.
No, he's not a scrub. Yeah. He just had a really bad showing in the preseason playing shortstop. And that's why you had all the shifting going around with Mookie. I think Mookie's going to play second base. I think Mookie's going to be in the running for a Gold Glove. I think your infield is Muncy. You got Freeman at first. You got Mookie at second. You got Muncy at third. You got Will Smith catching, whoever is pitching. And then the question is going to be, who's your shortstop? And if you told me it was going to be Tommy Edman, I'd be down with that.
Yeah, same. I like him a lot at short. He makes some huge plays in the World Series.
You're telling me that Tommy Edman's your shortstop and he bats ninth for you?
Right?
Dude, yeah. That's awesome. I'm down for this.
Same. I like where we're at. I wish we had a little bit more room to keep some of these guys. I think, now that you bring up the Edman signing and kind of recapping what he did in the playoffs, specifically NLCS, I bet I could see it bruising Lex's ego because he was supposed to be that guy. And then you bring this guy in here and he comes there and does what he does.
Hey, dude, you had all year, man.
I know.
And he also played in the playoffs. He didn't do bad in the playoffs.
Yeah, but he was supposed to be the replacement to Corey Seager. Like, you know what I mean? Like, anyways, I think back to Edmund, great signing, long-term deal. Just stay healthy, pal. That's all I can ask for. I like the signing. Stoked on it. I think this team's built to win titles for, I don't know, let's call it the next 3 or 4 years.
Sure.
At least be in contention. I mean, when I mean contention, I mean NLCS every year.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next one.
Dustin May.
Okay, so this is pretty. This is a good one that I'm really excited about. Let me get my video going really quick. Boom and boom. All right, so Dustin May, he avoids salary arbitration and he signs a 1-year deal. So arbitration, Mike, as far as, I mean, if anyone's listening that wants to correct me, maybe Max can correct me. Every single year a player has been in the majors, they go up in salary, like every year. It's based on their performance, it's based on how much their salary gets. It's supposed to be a league average. So if you're an elite pitcher, let's say Dustin May was healthy and Dustin May put up like a Cy Young caliber season, but he's still a rookie. He doesn't have a contract. So he's in arbitration. So what they would do is they would go, okay, you're this good. You're part of the top 10 pitchers in the league. Well, let's look at what the highest top 10 pitchers are making in the league averagely. So if it's like $20 million a year, guess what? Now he goes to arbitration. He wins his arbitration. Now Dustin May makes $20 million a year.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of what the arbitration is. Okay. So the Dodgers avoid arbitration by giving him a 1-year
extension
or something like that. Okay. So I might have worded that wrong. There might be people listening to me going, that's not how it goes. Well, if Kyle's listening, Kyle will be telling me, like, that's not how it goes. And so he can correct me on it.
Yeah, drop us a note. Tell us why we're wrong. I don't know much about arbitration, and I'm not the most up to snuff on contracts and how they all work other than guaranteed and deferred stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know much about him anyways. It seemed like every time I went to go watch him, he made it a couple of games and got hurt. I have not seen him pitch a lot.
Yeah. So I've followed Dustin May a lot, and I will tell you right now, I wrote a little note here thing. So say, go let's see this really quick. If May stays healthy, he can be one of the best pitchers in baseball. Dude, look at how we saw Blake Treinen throw, right? Blake Treinen basically threw like a video game. Like he had the slider, the sweeper that was just kind of like out of control. That's kind of like how Dustin May's fastballs look. There's so much movement on his fastballs. It's insane. How anybody even hits him just blows my mind. He'll get into this rhythm where he just looks like he's the most dominant pitcher in the world. The problem is because he throws like that, I think that's the reason why his arm keeps kind of going out. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see what kind of pitcher he is coming back from a second surgery. But if he's anywhere close to what he was before he got hurt, dude, he is a guy that, when healthy, is one of the better pitchers in the league. And you could basically ride a hot streak with that guy the way he pitches. It wouldn't shock me if the Dodgers don't change the trajectory on where he's going as far as being a starter, and they just move him to the bullpen to be like an elite, stopper, an elite closer. He has the stuff to be that kind of pitcher. I think they might go that route because it would save him as far as like, all the way to longevity. But if they're going to a 6-man rotation and he's in the 6-man rotation mix, that could benefit him definitely. The one thing the Dodgers have is they don't have a pitching workhorse. And we've talked about it all through the regular season. They don't have it. Even when these guys coming back right now, Gonsolin might have been that guy, but he just got hurt. And he just, like, ever since he got hurt in 2022, he has not been that pitcher. Granted, he was also still pretty young. I mean, but now he's like 30 or something. So you're not going to, that's not the guy. The only guy I can think of close in the last like 3 years would have been maybe Tony Gonsolin before he got hurt. Everybody else, they don't have a workhorse. So going to 6-man rotation is only going to benefit him. It wouldn't shock me if they even went 7-man, to be honest with you, because they have so many good pitchers. At some point, you have all these guys. You're like, if they were all healthy at the same time,
You could absolutely go. I
wouldn't see. Well, I mean, who would you take out of the mix if all these top guys are healthy? I don't know what they would do, and I think that's a problem they would love to have.
I think you pitch them all.
Yeah, you pitch them all. But Dustin May would be the guy who has the stuff that could go to the bullpen, and he could be an elite closer, and he would be that. He could take a role like you saw Evan Phillips take, or you saw Treinen take, which would be like, hey, once the 2, 3, 4 hitters come up, take him out of the bullpen, sixth inning, seventh inning, be a stopper, or you bring him in as your solidified closer. I think Dustin May has the mentality to be that pitcher.
Sure.
He definitely has the stuff to be that pitcher. So I'm super stoked that he's at least going to be around, and the Dodgers wanted to do the deal with him to see what happens from it. So I'm super stoked about it.
Yeah, I want to see him get a full season of health, of being healthy and mentally locked in, just confident with his stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I think he's I don't know what to think. Like, I haven't seen him pitch enough, but like, we have so many
You're
weapons.
You're gonna see it. You're gonna see it.
Well, we have so many weapons. I hope he fits in and his confidence is there and just dominates like you're saying he can.
Oh, it's there for sure. All right, I think this is a good time to remind everybody to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus. I know we're kind of stumbling a little bit in this episode. We're getting our feet wet again.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We got a lot of content we're going to be sharing with you. So
Be excited. I think we're stumbling, or I am a little bit, just because I haven't seen some of these guys play in so long. I don't recall how good or bad they were, you know, a year ago.
Well, we're going to talk about one of my favorite guys. Okay.
Talk about injury guys who haven't played in a while.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about Tony Gonsolin.
Good transition.
You like that? Yeah, all right. So the next pitcher that avoided arbitration would be Tony Gonsolin. So he also signs a 1-year deal to avoid it. So Tony Gonsolin, which I touched on him a little bit. Tony Gonsolin, to me, he's a contact pitcher, but he has the stuff to strike people out, which is really good. He seems like a very smart pitcher. A lot of people think that he was so good because the Dodgers were able to do the shift and they were able to basically position the players in the right spot. Well, guess what? There's still a shift going on. You just don't have the ultimate shift where you have a guy all of a sudden going into the right side of the field. That didn't really benefit, or you didn't have like the shortstop or the third baseman all of a sudden they're playing rover and second base over by the right fielder. That's not happening anymore. But I don't think that benefited Tony Gonsolin that much anyways. It was more like putting the what I saw a lot was I saw the shortstop being positioned right behind him, and he was getting a lot of ground balls up the middle, and that's really helped him out a lot. You're still putting players basically right around that area. They just might have to take another step before they actually get the ball. Regardless, Tony Gonsolin, dude, he would have won the Cy Young in 2022. Let me pull this stat up for a second, and I think it's going to pull in the wrong spot. Let me just transition this over here really quick. Boom, boom, boom. Click this button. Nope, went to the right one. look at the stat really quick. It's really good stat, and it sucks that he got hurt in 2022. He goes 16-1. He had a 2.14 ERA. He pitched in 24 games, started 24 games. He pitched 130 innings. And I remember because at some point he was leading the league in wins. He was leading the league in the lowest ERA. He was fourth, maybe fifth in strikeouts. Like I said, he's not a big strikeout pitcher, but he was dominating as far as like he was the best pitcher the Dodgers had in 2022. And at some point, I believe it was, he got hurt the end of August, early September, and he just never kind of bounced back from it. And then when he came back in 2023, he was still battling an injury. So I think it's the same one that he finally had surgery for, which I believe it was Tommy John. But regardless, the guy knows how to pitch and should be very excited if he comes back. And I was kind of shocked. I was hoping maybe he was farther along in his rehab assignments before the playoffs started. I really thought that the Dodgers were going to activate him during the NLCS. They didn't. And then a part of me thought they were going to activate him during the World Series, and said that way they could avoid the bullpen games. I figured he had to be in a better option than Knack at least, but they never did it. So I'm hoping that extra time sitting on the bench, kind of like, you know, building up the arm strength and doing whatever in the offseason, is really going to benefit him next year. That, and then also the six-man rotation. He will be one of the pitchers in the six-man rotation. I can guarantee you it'll be Tony Gonsolin will be one of those pitchers.
Yeah, and I think
you put him in the mix with these other guys, dude, you're talking about one unstoppable force. If he's on his game, man, this rotation is sick. You should be super excited.
So when we were going through a playoff run, I felt like we needed Gonsolin to come in because we needed that extra arm. And you just touched base on it. I think it was a blessing in disguise that he did sit out the rest of the season. Maybe he was on the cusp of playing a little bit, but at the risk of injury leading into this season, I think this is huge. The fact that he's coming off he's completely fresh from rehabbing and could have pitched in the postseason if we needed him. But the fact that he's going to come in ready to rock and roll, I think he's going to be at an all-star caliber level as well. I think it's huge to our rotation. The Dodgers are going to be a tough team to beat. Like, I don't know if there's really any holes in this team top to bottom. The rotation, obviously we had a bunch of injuries last year, you know, during the season, and
injuries are going to happen, and that's what's really good about about keeping Tommy Edmonds. And if they get Kike and you got Tommy Edmonds and you got Rojas sitting there, those three guys right there, that means that you can afford to have some of your key players go down. Like, I mean, you saw it with, luckily, you, I mean, you saw it with Muncy. Muncy goes down and Kike.
Well, we lost Betts too at some point.
We lost Betts too. But I'm going to use Muncy as an example because Kike got his eyes figured out. He has, you know, figured out he had the stigma. He got the glasses. All of a sudden, he was a reliable third baseman that was producing really well.
Sure.
And having a player like that sitting around floating is really key, I think, in Major League Baseball because these guys are going to get injured. They're not like football players where you got a stumped toe. Or you're battling through some kind of like sprain or something like that.
A stinger.
That you're still going to be productive. There's so much stuff in baseball that relies on mechanics.
Yeah, throwing and fielding.
Yeah, and so when these guys get hurt, I mean, they get hurt a lot. It's unfortunate. Some people might call them babies. Sometimes we think that they are, but you want to play an elite level. Like they need to have all their mechanics working. So some of these guys go down to have Tommy Emerson there to have. Kike sitting there is so crucial.
The depth on the team is going to be huge. But
and it goes the same thing with pitching. Like right now, I just named, like when I went through the starting rotation, all these pitchers that you have sitting there that you could be using, these guys are going to get hurt. Even when you do a six-man rotation, they're going to get hurt. Hopefully, when they're getting hurt, it's not Tommy John surgery. It's not season-ending surgery. It's like, oh, I got hurt back or I'm feeling a little sore, so I'm going to sit out. Like you're going to go on the 15 IL or whatever it is. Like those things are going to happen. To have these other guys sitting in the wing, like they could literally, with all these, let's say all these guys are healthy, they could literally just go, all right, now you're going to go on 2 weeks. You're going to go on an IL for 2 weeks. And then once you come back, now you're going to go on IL for 2 weeks. And then once you come back, they could go through just rest people throughout the entire season and have them come back. Like,
I think they're going to have, I mean, I think
if they're healthy, if they're all healthy at the same time, I think they will as well.
I wish River Ryan was coming back.
He'll come back in another year.
If they have room for him.
No, dude, River Ryan's a stud. I think they'll find a spot for him. All right. I think it's going to do it for our key re-signs. Don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
Let's jump into the...
We got a lot of topics here, Robbie.
I know. You know
I
what?
Love it.
Well,
it's
because
okay.
We've been out for so long. But then there's okay.
Well, it was a little bit, to be fair, it was a little bit dormant. It was a bunch of rumors going on with who was going to go where, who was going to sign. And it was all gossip. But now we're getting.
Well, now we're getting to gossip.
Well, we got a couple signings. And I think what's happening is some of these other guys that are in these other cities want to come jump on the Dodger bandwagon.
All right, well, let's talk about a guy who wants to jump on the Dodger bandwagon. Let's talk about this guy because...
I don't know, dude.
Let me tell you right now, out of everybody I'm about to talk to, I don't want them to get any of them except for maybe one, which has already come out that's not going to happen. So let's talk about the third base position. So it came out a couple of days ago, yesterday, today, whenever you're listening to this, Nolan Arenado might be coming to the Dodgers. So Arenado had this cryptic Instagram post... where it's like a picture of him on vacation and there's a song that it's synced up to and it's Dodger Blue by Kendrick Lamar. And so now everybody thinks that he's being cryptic and he's going to come to the Dodgers or he wants to come to the Dodgers. It's never been a secret that he wanted to be a Dodger. He's from LA. He's from California. Maybe not LA, but I know he's a Dodger fan. He grew up being a Dodger fan. It's never been a secret that Nolan Arenado wanted to be a Dodger. It's never been a secret that the Dodgers wanted to get Nolan Arenado. But there, in my opinion, there's no reason now to get Nolan Arenado. First of all, he's not the player that he was. I think he was MVP running or he won MVP maybe in 2022. Maybe it was 2021. I didn't look at the stats right now. Max, that's why you should be here. But his last 2 years, he has not been that great. And guess who's outperformed him? Max Muncy. Max Muncy is a better offensive player right now, in my opinion, than Nolan Arenado.
That's saying a lot.
Is he a better defensive player? No, I don't think he is. I don't think Muncy will ever be a better defensive player than Nolan Arenado. However, he is a solid defensive player. He's not like a scrub. Everybody thought that Max Muncy might have been like...
I think he's a good third baseman.
He became a really good third baseman. And what he's also, he's a clutch baseball player. And you also have Muncy at kind of a cheap rate right now. Muncy's deal, from what I think, from what I remember, I think it's like $10 million a year for like the next 2 years or something like that, with a team option might be next year. So, and I think Muncy might be 1 year younger, or maybe he's 1 year older. I can't remember. But either way, I just don't see the need to kind of shift the clubhouse around to get Nolan Arenado. Now, I'm not saying Nolan Arenado is a bad guy. I've only heard nothing but good things about him. I think he's also like, I think he's got the same trainer, or like his trainer is the same trainer that Freeman has or something. Like, there's connections to the players already. But
we don't have room for him, though. You're going to sacrifice Muncy for Arenado?
I could see them possibly doing a trade to get Nolan Arenado. Maybe if, like, the St. Louis eats part of Nolan Arenado's contract, and then they take Muncy in a trade. Because I think Arenado does have a no-trade clause, so that probably there needed to be something happening. There's nowhere else for Muncy to play. The only other position that Muncy – there's two other positions that Muncy can play. One is first base, which I think is a gold glove first baseman. The problem is there's already a gold glove first baseman there, and he's locked up for another 3 or 4 years, so that's not going to happen. The other position is second base. We already know Betts is going to second base, pretty much guaranteeing Betts is going to second base. So that's not an option to move Muncy to second base. Muncy, in my opinion, I do not think would be a good outfielder. So
he has no business in the outfield. He has
no business in the outfield.
He plays first base or third.
So I just think,
yeah,
I don't think the Dodgers get rid of Muncy. I think the organization likes Muncy. Muncy obviously likes the organization. I think the fans like Muncy. Yeah. I just don't see this rumor happening. It wouldn't shock me if it does, but I don't think it's going
to
happen.
For all I know, it's just to get attention.
Possibly.
Or to get a reason, you know.
Yeah.
Fire up at the Cardinals.
It's possible. I hope it doesn't happen, but, you know.
What's this next one? You want to go to the next shortstop position?
Yeah, but I got to pull up the video. Dude, I got video.
I can talk. Well, that's fine.
I got video, but I don't have it set up in an easy way to pull to get the video. But
how long do you need? 30 seconds?
We're going to jump into this nut job. All right. So let me tell you this right now. If the Dodgers make this happen, I'm going to have issues with the franchise for a little bit. So it is now rumored that Carlos Correa.
I didn't know you were going to go there.
We're going to go there. From the Twins.
Boo.
The Dodgers are interested in Correa. So the Twins are looking to move Correa. And so this is a terrible, terrible idea. And I'll give you just two reasons. I had eight. I narrowed it down to two. So let's just talk about one of the big two for me. One is there's something wrong with him medically. And I don't know if you remember this, but it was like 2 or 3 years ago. The Giants offered him a big, huge contract. And then they pulled it because his medical records came in because they saw something that they didn't like. So then they tried to shrink the deal into a smaller deal. Then he went to the Mets. The Mets got his medical contract, background or whatever. And they did the same thing. We're like, we're not taking you. There's something wrong with you. So, and they offered him a smaller deal. He ended up going to the Twins. I don't remember what his deal was. I didn't go back and look at it too much because of my next reason why. But for that first reason, it seems to me that at some point, these franchises that have money, and one of them is your rival, your biggest rival would be the Giants. It's not the Padres. Regardless of what the Padres think, it's not them. It's the Giants. The Giants wouldn't even take him. So there's something that they're seeing in his medical records that they think that he is not built to last long. And it sucks. Well, it sucks if I didn't talk about this next problem, because he is a gold glove caliber shortstop. He is an elite hitter. He's a very good player. But there's something there that obviously spooked everybody else away. So I don't think the Dodgers should go that route. I think the Dodgers probably won't go that route because of that. But they shouldn't go because my second reason is because he's a trash can cheater who stole the World Series championship in 2017 from the Dodgers. And I don't think this will sit well with the fan base. And I don't think it'll sit well for the players, especially when I think it's like two remaining players. I know obviously Barnes is still there. He re-upped there 1 year. And then if Kershaw comes back as Kershaw, I don't know if anybody else on the team now was on the 2017 World Series champions, but I could tell you that the owners were, the coaches were. So nobody, it should not sit well. Correa should not ever put on a Dodger uniform. That would just piss me off and it would piss the fan base off. Mike, what do you think about that?
I was trying to look up any type of validity to him becoming a Dodger.
Here, I got the link for you. Click on my notes.
I was looking for other, I saw that one, but
article.
Yeah, I just don't see it, man.
It's floating around. But, I mean, yeah, I don't see it happen. I think that...
There's no reason for it. Like, I don't, like...
I understand the Dodgers...
Politically, yeah, but okay, but let's be honest. You think the fan base is really going to appreciate freaking bringing the career? Like, you might as well sign Bregman. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no Astros should be signed onto the Dodgers team, period. Like, it shouldn't be a conversation. There's other options out there.
You know, it's funny you say that. No Astro should be on the Dodgers. Let me see something really quick. Keep talking. I'm going to look something up really quick.
But yeah, I don't think, I just don't see it. I don't like it. I don't think we need him necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think, I mean, to me, Willie Adams should be shortstop.
Willie Adames.
We still don't need him. I don't think we need more. We don't need more. We're already going to have a logjam with Kike, Edmund. I just don't see it. I would rather see us figure something out with Teoscar before we bring in Correa.
Hey, you know who was with Houston in 2017?
Oh, don't make my heart sink.
Teoscar Hernandez was.
No way.
But it looks like he was traded halfway through the season to the Toronto. So he didn't even make it to the World Series.
All right, well.
But he was on the team.
Yeah, he gets a pass, dude. I love Teoscar.
Yeah, he gets a pass.
He's a fan favorite. I don't like it. We don't need him. Like,
I agree.
Let him.
I agree.
We don't need him. I don't think it does good for the fan base. I think that I think it'd be a sour taste in Dodger fans. I just don't think we need him.
I agree with that. There's so many
other options that I would go for to get him.
Well, here's another option. So, Willie Adames. So,
yes, Adames.
Let's talk about him just for a second. It's not going to be a long conversation. A couple articles came out, basically stating that there's three teams that are still in the running for Willie Adames, and all three of them are American League teams, which is the Yankees, the Astros, and the Red Sox. So, that basically takes out the Dodgers, which, out of all of the available big league or, you know, big gets, I guess it's shortstop, that are at least being marketed right now. I'm not saying the Dodgers don't make a trade to get somebody else from another team, but the ones that are out there right now that are available, Adames is the only one that I could see actually kind of working for the Dodgers. I mean, it would be kind of cool because I do think he's a 30 run. He could hit 30 home runs. Just the old, I was thinking in my head, if you got Adames playing shortstop, you got Muncy, Adames, Betts, and Freeman in the infield, and all four of those guys hit 30 home runs. I mean, that hasn't been done in quite a while. I believe the last team to do that was the Dodgers. So that would have been kind of cool. That's the only thing I was thinking that might be interesting. But other than that, I mean, like I said, I'm fine with the Dodgers stay. Like, you know, if they try out Lux or if Edmonds is your starting shortstop, I'm fine with it. So I think the Dodgers already have the pieces to go and deep into the playoffs and make it to the World Series. So I don't think they need him, but I could see this one. It would have been okay, but I don't think the Dodgers even in the running anymore, so it doesn't really matter. But it's also not like articles have ever come out that are not right. So saying that it's completely out of the mix. Okay. Let's talk about the last guy. Jesus. I can't even want to talk about this guy.
I know.
Like, did I state that I really don't want any of these guys except for one, which we just talked about the one. So let's talk about the guy that I definitely don't want. Well, no, he's the second guy. I definitely don't want Carlos Correa. But let's talk about Juan Soto, the guy who basically helped the Dodgers win
the World Series due to his lackluster effort.
Okay, so I'm still seeing, I keep seeing things going back and forth, which is kind of bumming me out a little bit. But one article that I'm seeing is that the Dodgers are still one out of five teams that are still in the running to get Soto. But three teams have offered Soto $600 million. And on this article, the Dodgers ain't one of them. It's the Red Sox, the Mets, and the Blue Jays. But then I saw another thing that came out that the Dodgers are one of the teams that offered $600 million.
You know what I...
Look, man, you tell me how you feel about it. I'll tell you how I feel about it.
So, A, I don't think Juan Soto is a good fit for the Dodgers. We talked about it a little bit during the postseason. Mm-hmm. But B, here's what I think. I think Juan Soto deep down wants to be a Dodger for so he can be in Los Angeles and be in Hollywood, and he can also go win a title.
Sure.
What deep down I think what's really happening is I think our upper management knows they don't need to, we don't need him. And I think Soto doesn't like it. Meaning the one team he really wants to play for doesn't need him. And they're not, as it's been reported, they're not going to give in and go throw, you know, go all in on landing Juan Soto. And I think there's a chess match there. I think he wants to come to the LA, but he doesn't want to come for a deal. I think his ego is telling him they need to pay me top dollar to come for the Dodgers. And I don't think the Dodgers are budging on that, where these other teams will give him whatever he wants to go there. But I think he really wants to be in LA. And I don't think it's because of the team. I think it's because of his ego. But I don't want to see him to be a Dodger. I don't think it's a good mix.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good mix either.
I think deep down he wants to come to be a Dodger because the Dodgers, are, like I said, the Los Angeles Dodgers are the hot commodity. They are the stars of Major League Baseball right now. It's the team to be a part of. Juan Soto, because of, in my opinion, because of his ego, wants to be part of the Dodgers. He doesn't want to be there to be part of a team that's great. And I think that's why he shouldn't be a Dodger. But he is one of the greatest baseball players in the major leagues. Like, not doubting his athletic talent and how good he is.
I'm not doubting that either.
But I don't think he fits the team, and I don't think we need him.
Mike, I cannot agree with you more.
But it's, I mean, we talked about it. Robbie, we're both kind of purists and respect the game. And I just, there's so much about him that rubs me the wrong way. And I mean, maybe it's this new generation of baseball player, but
no,
like, I don't know. Like I always, my favorite clip of Juan Soto is when he was with the Nationals and Greinke threw a ball and he did his stupid slide step thing. And Greinke throws a 95 mile an hour fastball high and tight.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, obviously he would help make the Dodgers better. I just don't know if he would help the chemistry of the team.
The chemistry for me is kind of key. It's his defense and his chemistry. Like it's, I'm not questioning his ability as at bats. He has quality at bats. Obviously he always,
he's got a great eye at the plate.
He has a great eye. He's always on base. He's like, there's a couple things like it's interesting going back and looking at the 2024 World Series. The guy doesn't take a lead.
No.
That was kind of weird. I don't know if that was like a team thing, but it was like, he would take the smallest leads. Either is it because he's just like, his reaction time is really bad on base? Is because he's not a slow base runner. Like, so it's kind of weird. But it's also like his ability to read baseballs in the outfield was kind of shockingly bad. And the way he carries himself at the plate. Like this whole thing where he's always like staring down the pitcher and like kind of doing the shimmy thing. And when he gets walked, he just stares at the pitcher when he walks. Like there's some kind of weird thing going on. When he hits the home run, he rounds first base. Watch it right now. He goes back and he looks at the pitcher like I just showed you up. Like for me, that's a little much. Yeah, I am for you hit a home run. You stand there and you watch this majestic thing happen. And you sit there and you admire what you've just done.
Sure.
I'm for all that kind of stuff. I'm for you hitting the ball and doing a bat flip. I'm for you hitting the ball and taking your bat and throwing it. I'm for like all the, like the hand gestures and like the things on base and like that stuff. It's like, that doesn't bother me at all. What bothers me when you sit there and you try to show up the other person, like the whole mad dogging thing and all that. That's just not, I mean,
if I was a pitcher, I'd be putting it in his ear.
I would be too. Like it's interesting because I feel like he didn't have that kind of,
it wasn't as bad until he got to New York.
No, I think it wasn't as bad until he got to San Diego.
True.
But that's only what I've heard. Granted, I didn't watch him a lot.
Sure.
When he was with the Nationals. I mean, every so often they would play him, but you always watch the players more when they're on either on your team or they're playing a rivalry. They're playing one of the big teams, you know.
So what do you think? So let's talk right field, right? So we need a right fielder and an everyday center fielder. So
dude, we have them. I feel like we have the options already.
Who plays right with the current roster?
With right, I mean, dude, you could put many players in right field. Whether it's you put Pius in right field. You could, I mean, Edmonds, I guess, might be an option. I don't think it's the right option.
Center,
you could move Teoscar over to right field and have Kike play left field or vice versa. I mean, you have Albin was doing a lot better in AAA before the end of the season. I know you pointed it out a lot, and he had a really good rookie season, and a lot of players slump on their sophomore years, but they bounce back the following year.
Sure.
I mean, Albin, I still think is a possibility to play center field, and you move Paez over to right field. Paez plays it's not the best right field, but it's definitely better than Juan Soto right field. Yeah. And Paez hits lefties really, really well. And from what we saw, I mean, we were in awe about him in preseason. Paez has the potential to be a really, really, really good player. And the Dodgers have a lot of other studs that need to come up at some point and prove themselves. Right field might be the place that they do it. And it's just totally fine because you have all these other players that could step in and fill the role. I don't think they need a Juan Soto. It would be nice to have a Juan Soto's bat, but everything else that comes with Juan Soto, I'm not a fan with it. And I think what he will do is he has the potential to ruin team chemistry, in my opinion. And think of it this way. The Padres became a better team without him.
Yeah, I agree.
They were a better team without Juan Soto. So we always made comments like that Machado came in and kind of ruined them and blah, 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 because his attitude sucked. It might have been Juan Soto. Or it just could have been the mixture between just having two guys like that. It was a little much, or whatever the case is. But they got better when he was gone. But now, having said that, the Yankees got really, really good with him. So
I can see him re-signing in New York, but
I don't see him coming to the Dodgers. I really don't. I don't see that happening.
He's going to want a 10-year deal. No, 1 year. But so here's the other side of it. We don't need to rent him to go win a title. We're already competitive. Like, I think he's not going to sign a long-term deal with anybody because he's going to go 1 or 2 years, get bored, want to go re-sign somewhere else and get a bigger contract.
Look, if that's what he does, if he comes to the Dodgers and goes, hey, I'm going to come here for 3 or 4 years, and then I'm going to test the market again in 3 or 4 years, dude, that's fine. I mean, I guess. I don't know. I just don't want to, I don't know. It's not my money. We talk about it like it's our money. I wish it was our money.
Yeah.
So we can really dictate stuff or, you know, something else.
I mean, he's good enough player that I guess I would accept him as a Dodger and maybe hold my breath that.
Hey, maybe being around Freddie Freeman and Betts and all these other guys would tone him down a little bit so he's not so arrogant looking. Yeah. And he'd be on a team with other players.
Well, I don't think Roberts would put up with that either. We don't have a lot of that. You don't see Dodgers showing up everybody a lot. Like, you know what I mean? They may showboat excitement, but not towards the other team. It's more team celebration.
Yeah. The last Dodger that I can think of that actually tried doing that kind of stuff was Puig.
I like Puig. But they needed that type of player in that era, I think. I think I liked Puig.
Sure.
But he also had some monstrous home runs at key moments that made me love him. So he also made some bonehead plays in right field. So. Yeah.
I was always shocked. I feel like Puig should have been a better home run hitter.
I just think he just didn't have the mental discipline to become what he could have been.
He was also really young and when he came here, and I feel like he was thrown into the fire that he wasn't really prepared for it and whatever.
Yeah, so what do you guys think? What do our listeners think? You guys think Juan Soto should become a Dodger? I know we're chasing titles and he'd help us get titles easier, but I don't think we need him. I don't think we need to give him a big contract. I would prefer to save our dollars for the next big signing.
Save our juices?
Yep.
Okay. All right. On that note, I think that's going to do it for this episode of Talking Dodgers.
Welcome back, Robbie. It's been a few weeks.
Welcome back, Mike.
I miss you too, Rob, but we miss you, Max.
Miss you, Max. Hey, if you like what you're listening to, please check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/RogerBrainMedia. Help contribute to this content. Help us,
Spread like a virus.
All your contributions help us keep the lights on, help us pay for coffee, help us pay for rent.
Rent's a big one.
Please share with your friends. And, we're going to try to, we'll be doing this weekly. So we're back on the weekly bandwagon.
Yeah.
It's either going to be every Sunday or Monday. Mike and I are going to talk about
Christmas
it.
Our Christmas vacation is over.
It is. Well, Thanksgiving vacation.
Well, Thanksgiving vacation's over. Now it's time to hit it hard. But as always, and we appreciate all the listeners and followers. Keep it up, and we appreciate the feedback that we get.
Yep, absolutely.
And we're back at Todger Talking Dodgers, home of your 2024 World Series champions.
Perfect. All right, we'll catch you next time.
See ya.